meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Winds of Change. My name is David Carollo, sitting in today for Father Anthony. Noontime, so let's start with the Angelus, if we can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of our death, Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. So welcome. Welcome to the Winds of Change. It's good to be here again today. And I have to admit, I broke a promise. Yesterday when I was in the show, I said I had gone to confession, and the priest said, you might want to consider not watching the news. Well, I blew it, and I did, and my blood pressure rose probably about 10 points, and here I am again today. But we have to be informed, and we're in interesting times, I think, as they say. Really uncharted territory in this country. Especially as people of faith, and I think we're facing. I listened yesterday, and I'm not here to stand on a political bandwagon. But on the same token, you can't separate politics from our faith. And I heard this speech, or heard of the speech, where Joe Biden called for people to be vaccinated, and blaming people. And I'm not making any kind of claim. I'm not a doctor, but I got a chill running up my spine that our liberties are really, perhaps, really in jeopardy in this country. Emergency situations bring about difficult things, so I don't know. Again, but I just get a real fear that we as people of faith are going to be very marginalized in these times coming up. It's happened. We got a taste of our churches being closed and those difficulties that happen. As a result, but hopefully that's over. I kind of get feelings that that's coming back in some ways, and I think we have to truly fight that, because without the strength of the sacraments and our access to church, we're not going to be able to go forward and grow as Catholics, as Christians. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. But I think I'd like to take some time today to look at some of the many things in our history in this country, and as regards our faith and our ability to worship. I know that we were, you can't separate politics and religion completely. I think there's always been this idea that, there's this mantra that's out there, separation of church and state. I don't think you really find it anywhere in our constitutional documents, although the government has no right to establish a religion or tell us how we are to worship. It's that allowed the Catholic faith to come forward in a hostile environment, quite frankly, over how many years? I mean, there are areas of this country where the Catholic faith was absolutely outlawed or it was dangerous to practice it. But in time, you know, we came, especially with the migration that defined the 20th century, my own family. I think my four grandparents were born in Italy. And my first two, my mother's family, they were here in the 1890s. So as you came into the 20th century, that's where the immigration happened, and they brought the Catholic faith. And we became the largest single religion in the United States, which is pretty amazing. I don't know if the founders ever expected that. But our Catholic faith is very compatible with Americanism. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I think there's always been this feeling that people of the Catholic faith were papists with the loyalty to Rome. Well, we have a loyalty to our Holy Father and what the Church teaches, the magisterium of the Church. But we're not. We don't get our political direction from that. So, and I think that's really where we're at today. I think we have to. We better stand up and really fight, because I just feel that we're again being threatened in that regard. We're at a beautiful the studios here are at a beautiful place, St. Stan Kostka Parish, and a place of perpetual adoration. And I say to anybody who's listening that doesn't know this parish, they need to pay a visit. I mean, you can come in any time in that beautiful monstrance where our Lord is always present. That's really the essence. Certainly the Mass and confession, the other sacraments are very important, but prayer and reparation for sin. I, of course, am the executive director of the World Apostate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army, and we promote the message of Fatima. And Fatima, of course, from 1917, when Our Lady appeared, she brought this message of warning and of hope. And the warnings are coming to be. I mean, she said, if my requests are not heeded, Russia will spread her errors. Well, that was the time of the Bolshevik Revolution. And in fact, Russia has spread her errors, maybe because we didn't respond strongly, although many people did respond over the years and perhaps mitigated some of what could have been worse in this world. We saw what happened in Eastern Europe. We saw what happens to this day in places like China and Cuba and Venezuela, and you can name different places where communist regimes are brutally affecting the right to worship. But we're feeling it here a bit too, and I think we need to understand that we need to put our foot down and stand up for who we are and what we are, what we were founded to be, and that is a nation of free but responsible people. And I think maybe that's why, if we're losing our freedom, it has to do with the fact that we're losing our sense of responsibility. Freedom is defined today as being anything you want. Freedom, as it's traditionally defined, is doing what is within the realm of the laws of God. Do it for the greater glory of God, for your own sanctification. Obviously, your first obligation is to save yourself, and then to save, to help those around you attain heaven. I mean, we're not. This is temporary where we're at on earth, and I think most religions believe there's the afterlife, and that's we strictly believe this, of course, as Christians. It was told we know that's true, but even some religions that don't really view or don't look strongly to the afterlife do understand that the glue of society is the rule of law and rule of natural law, quite frankly, which is inside of us. We don't need to be. We don't need to read what it is to know. I mean, a properly formed conscience knows right from wrong. And we look at things like abortion and things like that. These defy who we are. A heart that's open to God understands that, and it truly does. Certainly, people find themselves in tough positions and act in ways that aren't proper. For many reasons, I think we all are weak, and we all fall into sin, and sin maybe backs us into a corner sometimes. So I don't necessarily slight unfortunately, a woman perhaps who finds herself in a tough position and is convinced to abort a baby. Unfortunately, the price they pay later emotionally in that is documented to be terrible. And there are so many organizations out there where there are people willing to help. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to be out there and stand as a beacon and say, I want to help you both physically and temporally and spiritually to heal yourself and to come back and be part. And that's why. That's where the Catholic Church has always provided that type of thing, both the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. So we have to be that beacon. We have to be that beacon in this dark world. Like the lighthouse at sea that brings the ships in. And I think those that founded this country understood that. I am not I've always been patriotic. Of course, I am the director, as I said, of the World Apostle of Fatima. We run the Blue Army Shrine in Washington, New Jersey. And I've often pointed to that we're only 40 miles from Washington's crossing, where George Washington and the Continental Army crossed the Delaware River on Christmas Day of 1776. And often we would go down, it's a beautiful park on the Pennsylvania side, and then across here to the New Jersey side. But it was when they came, fought the Battle of Trenton, and it turned around the Revolutionary War and brought us to a victory. And a patriotic place, and they have many fairs there. And if you're ever in this area, I highly recommend that you visit it. We would sometimes go down there for a visit to the events and perhaps a restaurant down there or something. And it's pleasant. But it's pleasant because the history is strong. And the again, the founders and the people that you see there, not all Catholic. I mean, very few of them were actually Catholic. But they did have a very strong moral barometer in many ways. I know today there's a lot of revisionist history out there. Well, some of them are slave owners. And yes, these are not things that we're trying to ignore. These are the ills of a country that matured. And I think I want to quote Abraham Lincoln on certain things, maybe as we go through this show, because we evolved as a country over our history. And I hate to see this revisionist mentality that's out there today that tells us that everything of the founding of this country is evil. I can't believe that. I know my grandparents came to this country for a better life, and not just economically. There was a freedom here. There's a sense of understanding the human dignity and the freedom that we do enjoy, but quite frankly, we're losing it. I mean, it seems we're and I think you only lose these types of things when you lose your desire to have them. That's where it begins. And I think we need to, maybe we haven't instilled enough in the younger generation. I think our educational system has been very, very diverted from reality. And so many young people have never really been taught the ideas of patriotism and what it truly is. And not even not taught it, I think, in many ways. It's been intentionally denigrated by people who have taken over a lot of our education. So it's our job to stand up, especially as Catholics, especially as people of faith, and not just Catholics, but Christians, all of us, standing up and saying, wait a minute, folks, we are founded on something better. Our documents, our founding documents in this country are, very much found in the Ten Commandments. I mean, you can't argue that. I mean, if you look at how many times has God referred to in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. And I think that, we're coming up to a very, a very sad anniversary here on Saturday. Of course, tomorrow, the 11th, is the 20th anniversary of the horrible attacks on the World Trade Center. And spending most of my time in New Jersey, I'm only 50 miles from Manhattan. And believe me, my little fire department in the little town of Hampton right near us here, they have some of the metal structure. They were one of the fire departments that were called out that day and at the World Trade Center. And it is, I hope people can understand the attack on our culture and on our liberties and on our whole structure that happened on that day, because I just think it's a time we need to pray. We need to pray for those certainly lost their lives, but more so for the country that it represents, that we represent, and what we need. So I need to take a break. And when I come back, I'd like to follow up on some of these things. I'm David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
It's as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers. A huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way!
This Sunday morning at 10, St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish invites you to a mass commemorating 9/11. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststanschurch.org for more details.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Hi, welcome back. David Kroll sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. We had a little blip of technical blip there for a minute, so I hope we're back on. Anyway, I follow up on what I was talking about with the prior to the break about the just the whole sense of patriotism and that beautiful the mass for you know September 11th. I think, you know, coming in to understand what we as a country faced on that day and what we're, you know, what happened. I mean, what happened then, I think, is something that's 20 years ago. I recall that vividly. I recall sitting watching things on television. I was ready to leave for Europe the day, 2 days afterwards. So you can understand, I mean, I had all kinds of things going on. I had trips to France and Germany, and I was going to be on the go. And all of a sudden, kaboom, I looked on, and it makes you wonder, it makes you think of how things can change and turn on a dime. And I think for those people, those poor people that lost their lives on that day particularly, I think there's a, obviously we pray for them, but they went to work for a normal day. You know, I know I was always told, always be ready. You never know, you know not the time or the place. We are people of, you know, our Catholic faith tells us that. We don't know when God's going to call us. And I hope that those people were prepared. I think of the beautiful heroism of the Father Judge, if you recall. He was with the New York Fire Department. He's a Franciscan father. He lost his life that day. He died in the World Trade Center. And there was people saying that he was going around and blessing as he was walking through the lobby of the building over there, trying to give absolution to people, knowing they were dying and knowing that he would probably die himself. And in fact, he did. The building came down, he died. But again, we talk heroes, you know. This is what we're made of. This country is made of heroes, and our church is made of heroes. And I think that's the reason why, you know. I was thinking more, you know, that's why the whole idea of patriotism, I think, is so strong with something that we have really, unfortunately, I wouldn't say forgotten, but we have not made it a priority, especially with the younger generations. And it is a, It's really kind of impossible to understand the motivation of one who gives their life for their country, or even, you know, to motivate people to do so. You know, our country was founded by imperfect people who were hopefully working for perfection. And, you know, selflessness is what defines this type of thing. The founders, every one of them, you know, did not end, their lives did not end nice. They took on the British Empire. They took on the biggest, strongest, you know, military power in the world, and they paid the price for it. But look what the legacy they left us. But, you know, selflessness, you know, is a defining characteristic of those who look beyond the needs of themselves and even the needs of their loved ones. You know, it's a defining characteristic, again, of a soldier goes to war, of the firefighters, like the ones who went into the World Trade Center. They go into a burning building to save lives, you know. And the many, many religious and other missionaries, you know, who have sacrificed their own comfort and safety to secure the same for others. Think about that in the 2,000-year history of the church. You know, I was taught as a child that we should approach our duties in life. That's how we should look at things. We live in a country today, though, and a world in general that seems to really avoid these selfless acts. You know, we look at difficulties that we find ourselves in and wonder, how did we get here? But we see our leaders acting, it seems, only through this prism of political advantage. We're suffering today from a bankruptcy of integrity in all walks of life. And I think that's really probably the key to our issues. You know, as Catholics, we believe in the communion of saints and responsibility for our actions. We believe that we have the responsibility for the actions of our neighbors, even, you know, both near and far, and that the things that we do affect people either positively or negatively. You know, we're called to admonish the sinner. Do we do that anymore? I don't think we do. You know, as a matter of fact, indifference. We allow this. Indifference was something that was lamented at Fatima, and indifference is seeing the wrong in somebody and not correcting it for their own good. You're not doing it to be better than them. You're doing it for their own good. And, you know, you do a charity and to help them avoid the effects of these bad actions. You know, we must acknowledge our own perfections and look to God to keep us on the right track. I mean, the gospel this morning talks about looking at the sliver in your neighbor's eye and not seeing the plank in your own. Well, we have to look and see that plank and get it out of our eye, you know. And, you know, the children at Fatima, and again, we promote the message of Fatima in this apostolate, you know, they were asked to offer their lives for others, to bring a message to the world, and to live lives of selflessness. Selflessness is really the key to being a strong leader and being a person of integrity. You know, magnanimity, it's that trait of just having a sense of justice rule your actions. A lot of that is going, you know, I know that we have, you know, again, I mentioned it, you know, my four grandparents came from Italy and they came to this country for a better life, certainly economically, that was a big part of it. But they also came, again, for this whole idea of being, you know, participating in this whole concept of freedom and what it really is all about. And not everybody participated. I mean, I know we've worked with people. Bishop Joseph Perry, who's a dear friend of ours, auxiliary bishop in Chicago, is on the cause for Father Augustus Tolton and the story of Father Tolton. I've had His Excellency on this show with me before to discuss the life of Father Tolton. You know, born a slave in Missouri, lost his father in a civil war. And then his mother brought he and his siblings across the Mississippi River from Missouri to the free state of Illinois in a rowboat with one oar. Think about that. You know, he went on to become the first American-born Black Catholic priest in the country, ordained in Rome. You know, and he had the opportunity to serve many places, but he returned home to minister to the many African-American Catholics who migrated to the Chicago area after emancipation. You know, selflessness. These are the things. You know, his cause for canonization moves along, you know, and these things of those stories, you know, they may sound a little quaint. I can talk about the things that, you know, oh, I love this country, and we see Ellis Island, and we see all these stories. But the reality is people came here for something bigger, but they didn't leave, you know, they came into a new country with the idea that they would become part of something bigger and better, you know, and That's why patriotism is so important. I think when you see that being lost, it's a very scary thing with this younger generation, because I know that the church has always spoken of patriotism as a virtue, because it is steeped in gratitude. And that's why in this country today, you know, when maybe we're just not a grateful people anymore. I don't know. But I think of the words of St. Pope John Paul II, and he said this of patriotism. He said, "Patriotism is a love for everything to do with our native land, its history, its traditions, its language, its natural features. It is a love which extends also to the works of our compatriots and the fruits of their genius. Every danger that threatens the overall good of our native land becomes an occasion to demonstrate this love. I believe that the same could be said of every country and every nation in Europe and throughout the world. Patriotism, in other words, leads to a properly ordered social love." Now, that's from St. Pope John Paul II. And he was speaking, of course, of his native Poland, a country which had been, you know, in upheaval for so many years. I mean, the doormat of Europe, as it was referred to, because, I mean, if it wasn't the Russians and the Germans, and who else crossed in and occupied that country? But throughout all those occupations, the Polish people kept what? Their faith. And what did they found in Chicago, this very parish of St. Stanislaus Kostka, St. John Cantius, Holy Trinity, all those beautiful parishes, those Polish parishes up along the Kennedy, which is now the Kennedy Expressway and beyond? These were all founded by the Congregation of the Resurrection. They were Polish priests who came over there and brought the faith. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, St. Anthony's Parish, where the Scalabrini fathers brought and built churches for the Italian immigrants. And so I really understand that. But to this very day, there is such an attachment to that, because they came and brought something very, very big and strong and built and brought their faith. And the faith came along, you know, the faith is not something that they just picked up here. They brought it along. And that's when their success, so many of them did succeed economically in our country because of the great opportunities that always have been, and I believe will be there again. We're going through a difficult time. I mean, okay, we have a pandemic, which has redefined a lot of things in the world, but we have to be careful not to let that redefine what it's like to be Americans, and particularly Catholic Americans. You know, we fought for years. We fought for years as Catholics, not we. I don't want to take credit for something that was done by previous generations, but we, as Catholic people, fought for a place at the table. And I remember I was looking at the for a country that was Protestant at one point, several years ago, I was reading an interesting article. For a Protestant country, I think seven of the nine members of the Supreme Court were either Catholic or Jewish, two ethnic groups and religious groups that really weren't part of the initial calculus of the country. So yes, we do evolve, and I think that's where we have to be. We always have to be open to God, and I know that our actions throughout the times of the wars and such, and the many disasters that have hit the world, and the great response of the United States, a lot of that came from the Catholic and Christian foundings and lifestyles of people here. To this day, you know, when you see what's going on, the horrible thing happening in Afghanistan right now with this departure, whatever, how we want to define it politically, you know, there are the groups that are doing their best to try to get people out still are the Christian Catholic groups, and not just Catholic, but Christian groups overall, because there's a sense of duty. It's a sense of duty to your fellow man and woman. And I think we, you know, that's what our, this is what motivates people in this country to a higher calling. We are a people of God. And no matter what we do here, if you look at the great, how many people gave, as I said earlier, gave their lives to go and minister different places, there was always that sense of duty, that sense of duty that brought them to something bigger than them. That's what we have to do as Catholics. The Fatima message tells us that we have to work for the salvation of souls. The children were asked that after they were shown that horrible vision of hell. And Our Lady said to them in August, "You've seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. Are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation so that people can get the grace to avoid this fate? Many are there," she said, "because there's no one to pray and make sacrifices for them. Are we willing to do that?" as Catholics, as Americans. That's what we're made of. And I think we really need to consider who we are and where we go from here. I need to take another break. And when I come back, I'd like to follow up on a little more on this whole subject. This is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change. AM 750 WNDZ.
It's as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers. A huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way!
This Sunday morning at 10, St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish invites you to a mass commemorating 9/11. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststanschurch.org for more details.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And just following up on this whole concept of patriotism, Americanism, and I don't mean, we are again people of faith who practice our faith within a country which is really founded to give us the protections of our faith, and that's why we're getting threatened very much right now by government mandates and things that, and sometimes there are things that are that require action by government. We know that life has to be somewhat regulated. There are real libertarians who are even offended by traffic lights. Well, I'm not that far. I don't go that far along. We have to regulate the flow of people, and we have to regulate some things. But certainly we have to be who we are, and we have to be able to practice particularly our faith. And our economic, miracle in the United States really is a result of that freedom, and primarily our religious freedom. But, I want to point to some things that the people who came before us, there was a lot of wisdom that came back, both in our religious leaders as well as our political leaders, those who were well-motivated. And Abraham Lincoln often had he was so focused on this republic and saving the republic, because he knew what it truly was. He saw the evil of slavery. He saw the evil of a number of things, and he wanted to correct that. He felt we needed to evolve as a people. And it's interesting, in his 1938 Lyceum Address, really calls out, who are we? And the subject, really, of the whole thing was, where are we as a people, and the perpetuation of our political institutions was really the subject of his remarks that evening. And cutting through it, he's talked about this country and how a country founded as ours could meet its demise. And interestingly, he says here, and I cut down to it, the task of gratitude to our fathers, justice to ourselves, duty to posterity, and love of our species in general, all imperatively require us to faithfully perform. Think about that. And then he says here, how then shall we perform it? At what point shall we expect the approach of danger? By what means shall we fortify against it? Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never, he says. All the enemies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined, of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined, with all the treasures of the earth, our own excepted, in their military chest, with a Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trial of 1,000 years. He says, at what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer it as if it ever is to reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction is to be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. Now that's 1838 when he made that address. And we, our country was young, very young at the time. And by that time, he felt just by the nature of who we are, how strong we were. We had fought off the strongest military in the world in the British Empire to be established as a country. And he wanted to protect and save the Republic because, you know, this was so important. And so, you know, there are people to this day will have their issues with Lincoln and how he executed the Civil War. Not really a civil war. It was a war between the states. It was a war of succession is what it truly was. But he felt that the succession of the South would destroy all of us. And I think, you know, I think it proved to be the right thing. So, you know, we know that, you know, there are throughout history, you know, heroes have always come forward, you know, and I think that we have to stand with what is in front of us. I think we have a so many things throughout the year, so many people that have come here for that better life and that safety. And I fear that, you know, where do people go if we're not that beacon anymore? You know, we are and the biggest thing is so we can practice our faith and maybe because we as Catholics have not kept up our part of the bargain. I truly believe in it. And I indict, you know, people in the pews and people on the altar to a great degree. I mean, it's all over. It permeates our society. You know, people, if there's a priest or even a bishop or somebody who doesn't live up to their calling, remember, they come from the same grouping as we do, okay? They come from our families, you know? So we have to be stronger in developing, and maybe we have to start more from scratch and go back to developing the basics of the stronger families that create these heroes, the people that want to go out and do better, particularly in the faith, to save souls, to come forward with the understanding that they are, you know, we were just speaking the other day with a young man who was just ordained this past year, and he's just so full of zeal. And it's so, so great to see that, because here's somebody who's coming into the priesthood in a time where the priesthood is not honored. Let's be honest with you. It's not like it was even 30 years ago. If somebody became a priest, they had a status in society because, you know, they represented something big. Well, I wouldn't say those days are gone forever, but there's not much respect. I think a lot of it is bad press. There's a lot of enemies of the church that are in media and such, and they'll do anything they can to make the church look bad. They'll point out the difficulties in the church and what happens, and rightfully so. I mean, we can't ignore some of the abuses that have happened. But this is not the majority. This is not the majority. Not everybody that stands that comes forward. You know, unfortunately, that a few rotten apples can spoil the bushel. Well, I guess maybe, you know, that happens to some degree. But we have to be strong, and we have to point out that, you know, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It'll hurt it. And it's very hurt right now. And these reports that as many as maybe 70% of people, Catholics, don't even believe in the real presence. Well, that's been the scourge of the devil. But I think, you know, you go back to the prophecies that came, St. John Bosco and Our Lady of Fatima and all of that, and that the devil would have his time. And I like to think but I do believe that this is his time. But that it's finite. because we do know that, you know, we will come out on the other side of this better. You know, bruised up, yeah, certainly. And I think you saw it. You saw this entire 20th century when Our Lady said at Fatima that there would be that the Church would have, the Holy Father would have much to suffer, and that there would be a persecution in the Church. Well, look at Eastern Europe. Look at communist areas, China and places. Look at the persecutions going on in these places to this day. I mean, and the number of people that have been martyred for the faith. I mean, I believe that they're saying that I've heard it said there are more people martyred for the faith in the last 100 years than the previous 1900 years of Christianity. Well, that has to bring you forward to a reality that the blood of the martyrs is the fruit of the seed of the faith. If that many people have been martyred in the last 100 years, you know there's a lot of seed planted. And I think we will see an explosion of grace at some point like we've never seen before, perhaps maybe in the fourth century when the Catholic Church or the Christian Church itself was legalized under Constantine from the Roman Empire. I think, you know, we will see something like that at some point. Our Lady talked about the triumph of her Immaculate Heart, and I think that's what we're going to be looking at, you know. So there's great, I mean, there's really should be optimistic and never say, oh my God, these times are terrible and I'm not meant for this time. No. You were born for this day. You're alive today because God wants you here to be here at this time. And we should be honored to be part of it. And if there is persecution that comes with it, well, we have to accept it. We have to accept the fact that you know, things are maybe going to be tough for a while, but for a better good. So we go forward, you know, and we can rebuild on the ruins. You know, that third part of the Secret of Fatima that was finally revealed in the year 2000, and people wonder what was actually being shown there. And it showed the Holy Father walking up the hill amidst bodies and burned out cities, and then as he approached the cross, he was slain. Now killed, I don't know. Some define that as Pope John Paul II when he was shot in 1981. Others say no, that really symbolizes more the Church, that the Church is being wounded. But the Church will not die. You know, again, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That doesn't mean it won't be attacked. I mean, until the last person takes their last breath on earth, you know, the evil ones will always attack the Church, because the Church is the means of salvation. And the devil wants to destroy us. The same Michael prayer, you know, prowling about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. That's what the devil has done. He's lost paradise forever, and he wants to take as many people with him. And that's really what it comes down to. He despises humanity. That's unfortunate. Well, you know, that's the reality that we live with. And so if his time is now, then let's pray harder and harder to hasten the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, to bring about that time when we don't, when it'll never be perfect on earth, but maybe we can return to a more civil time where the faith can grow again. And that's what we need. We're in a time of the decline of the faith. These have happened throughout history, but now I think with people are seeing the results, they're seeing the consequences of not living Christian lives. And because of that, you know, our whole society is to a great degree deteriorating. So, you know, I always say better days are coming. I always say that it's always darkest right before the dawn. And maybe we're in that dark period that's going to lead to the new dawn of bringing about the faith again. And then our work really begins. We have to be there. We have to catechize. People are very uncatechized today. I know that, we promote, you know, the rosary, of course, is a big part of our devotional life. And if you want more information on our apostle, go to bluearmy.com. We have many, many resources. And it can give you, sign that beautiful pledge that our founder, John Hafford, worked with Sister Lucia in 1947. And that was, you know, pray the rosary every day, five decades of the rosary, you know, consecrate yourselves to Our Lady, through Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the scapular, the brown scapular. Strive to fulfill the first Saturday's devotion, very important devotion. You know, and live according to your, you know, chastity, according to your state in life. It's purity. You know, sister, you know, young Saint Jacinta was told by Our Lady as she was dying in a hotel room in, or excuse me, in a hospital room in Lisbon in 1920, that more people go to hell for sins of the flesh. And she said, you know, this is something that you know, we in this sex crazed world that we live in, and we're all affected by it. Believe me, I'm not pointing fingers at others, but it's a constant issue that we have to fight. We have to fight for purity so that we can be worthy of what is there for us. So I need to take another break, and when I come back, I'd like to wrap up here with some of these subjects again. This is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
It's as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers. A huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way!
This Sunday morning at 10, St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish invites you to a mass commemorating 9/11. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststanschurch.org for more details.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And just following up on what I was speaking about with the state of the world, the state of the church, it all falls to us. I mean, we are the church. We are the country. We are those who are going to make the difference. And are we going to devote our lives to bringing about, you know, that true peace that only comes with God? You know, I know that, again, as talking about Fatima and about the when Our Lady said that war is a punishment for sin. It happened in World War One and came World War Two. But I was looking at some we know that message, we know those words, you know, and we've always lamented that, you know. So if you adhere to her call and reform life and respect for the laws of God, it's why that's why World War One just ended. World War Two was predicted. It came and went. Russia spread her errors. That happened. The Cold War came and went, while numerous armed conflicts continued. You know, the number of dead or irreparably hurt is just absolutely incalculable. You know, the endless conflicts that continue to plague us today all stand witness to this statement that war is a punishment for sin. Disruption of all kinds is a result of sin, we know that. But a sinful mind does not think clearly. You know, the effects are a detriment to all of humanity. Dwight Eisenhower had a very good, and he was a military man, he had a very good comment. He said, every gun that is made, every warship that is launched, every rocket that is fired, signifies in the final sense a theft of those who hunger and are not fed, and those that are cold and are not clothed. Interesting quote. You know, I'm speaking as a pacifist and you know, that I would ignore evil. You know, President Eisenhower was a military man. He understood that there was necessity for war at times. Sometimes it is that way. It's a painful remedy to things. There is such a thing as just war, and I passionately believe that historically the United States has been a just nation. But our sinfulness, as well as that of other countries, leads to conflict. You know, war has many, many faces. You know, soldiers in uniform identify with the nation that they act on behalf of. There's always an enemy that can be defined directly. We do not always have a recognizable enemy today, though, because we fail to understand that we need only to look in the mirror to see who is causing the disruption in the world. The source of today's conflicts lie within many of us. We have seen the enemy, and I'm afraid he is us. Sister Lucia of Fatima lived 88 years after the apparitions. She saw the Fatima century unfold and must have thought, what a foolish lot we are. The validity of Our Lady's warnings was absolutely plain to see, but blinded by pride, I think, we seek solutions through secular paths and fail to see the cause and effect relationship between willful defiance of God and the deterioration of society. True peace really only exists in a pure heart, a heart which longs for justice, seeks serenity of union with God. We pray for peace, but are we peaceful? Our motives can only truly be judged by God, who sees all intentions. Do we want peace for selfish reasons, or do we seek good for all, even those who violate that peace? And it's the same thing with, people who, there's a lot of anger with politicians right now, myself included. As I said earlier, I was told by Father in a confession the other day, stop watching the news. Well, you try, and you can't. We live in a world. We have to see what's going on, especially if I'm going to do a radio show and run an organization like I do. But we know that there are people that are living wrong, but do we pray for them? We're angry at them, politicians, particularly, especially when they don't represent us properly and they promote things that are contrary to our well-being and our beliefs. But do we pray for them? Do you get up every morning and pray for those people, or do you curse them? Think about it. That's what we have to do. We must be devoted to the well-being of all, even those who hate us and hurt us. The greatest saints seek peace, not on their terms, but on those of God. Obedience to his laws is the road to peace, and defiance of his laws is the road to perdition. So today we are in a war, kind of like no other, one in which our enemies are not definable as in traditional warfare, attractive to our senses many times. It's interesting. I found a quote that I want to share with you. It was on December 10th of 1975. It was the 50th anniversary of the apparition of Our Lord and Our Lady to Sister Lucia in Pontevedra, Spain. And this quote is attributed to the Most Reverend João John Venancio, the Bishop of Fatima, on the state of modern man. And it very much explains our condition today, in my opinion. He says this, in light of the Fatima message, sin is not a phenomenon of the social order, but is in a true theological concept, an offense against God with necessary social consequences. Perhaps no other century, as the century we live in, the 20th century is time, has had a life so sinful. But there's something new added to the sins of this century. The man of today, more sinful than those who came before him, has lost the sense of sin. He sins, but laughs and even boasts of his sin. Man of today has arrived at this stage because he has placed a division between himself and God, believing that when God is ignored, everything is possible. The man of this century wishes to realize himself is stronger than God and against God, and comes finally to the point of being man debased, anti-man, because man can only perfectly recognize himself in God. The condition that His Excellency spoke of 46 years ago has intensified 46 years ago, I guess that would be, and society has degenerated to the point that we no longer object and in fact accept things that should appall us. Reflecting on what the Fatima message means and calls us to today, we can only conclude that we have a lot to do to come into compliance with her wishes, which are the wishes of God. By force or by will, evil has advanced and now dominates. By grace, it will be overcome and defeated. Peace is not necessarily defined as the lack of physical violence. True peace only exists in a heart, in a pure heart, a heart which longs for justice and seeks the serenity of union with God. Physical peace emanates from this. And I think, you have to understand, God allows evil to have its day, but it will not allow disorder to prevail. The most difficult times bring forth the saints of greatest magnitude. They have and continue to change the world. We can change things no matter how late it appears. never, ever accept the narrative that prophecy is set in stone. Things will go. Doing that disrespects the reality that God can change the path of anything, and it really questions his mercy. You know, there was a quote by St. Pope John Paul II on that, and he stated the following when asked about the third part of the Fatima secret, which had not been revealed and why people asked. He said this. He said, "It is dangerous to want to satisfy one's curiosity only if one is convinced that we can do nothing against the catastrophe that has been predicted." He then held up his rosary and stated this. "Here is the remedy against evil. Pray. Pray and ask for nothing else. Put everything in the hands of the Mother of God." And that changes in our hands, literally. It is in our, you know, by prayer, particularly the rosary. But, we think we know how things will and should unfold. And you know, many of the Jews could not accept the reality that Christ would not restore the kingdom of Israel. But his plan was much broader than that. We pray for an end to evil, for a restoration of our society. It means a lot to us. It's a noble hope. God, however, sees the big picture, and the difficulties that he allows to plague us now are part of a plan for a restoration really beyond our understanding, I believe. The hour is coming when you will be scattered and alone, our Lord said to the apostles. Will we stay faithful when it's not comfortable to do so? That's the question we have to ask. When the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith? And we have to answer with a resounding yes. We cannot say, the prophecy says this, so it's time for me to, buy a bunch of food and get into my little catacomb and I guess come out when it's, things are over. Well, no, I don't think so. That's not really what it's about. We have to stand up. We have to stand up even stronger. We have to be like the Cristeros. We have to be like, Father Pro. If you saw that beautiful story that was depicted in the movie For Greater Glory about the martyrs in Mexico in the 20s, our next door neighbors, quite frankly, and what did he put his arms out? Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King. We have to be willing to do that. Will we all be called to that? No, we won't. Many of us, if there's a martyrdom to suffer through these types of things, it's more of a marginalization, and there's many, and it's difficult. There are difficult times. I think it's probably harder to live those kind of martyrdoms, that long white martyrdom, than the red martyrdom that has a finite type of, perhaps quick end to it. But we don't know. I mean, and I don't want to be, I'm an optimist in reality. I mean, I think there is the fact that we are, we're an Easter people. We may be going through our Good Friday right now, but we are an Easter people, and we will, our Lady promised it. St. Paul said it. We're going to win. We're on the right side of this thing. Make no mistake about it. Our Catholic faith is the key to everything, and our devotion to Our Lady, to the Rosary, to the Blessed Sacrament. That is our come to St. Stan's, spend some time in adoration. And wherever you're at listening to this, there are adoration chapels, or if nothing else, you can go into a church and pray in front of the tabernacle. We have a lot of things on that. We have some books we republished for our 75th anniversary coming next year, The Night of Love about the All-Night Vigils, and The World's Greatest Secret about the Eucharist. And look, if it's true that 70% of people in the church don't believe in the real presence, we have to change that. Come to our website, BlueArmy.com. God bless you. And I look to see you next time.
What's there to say? When the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. now.